Welcome to the 2 Minute Disciple Podcast with your host, Nick Euler. 2 minutes of discovery leads to a lifetime of following Jesus. Hey, everybody, welcome to the podcast. I'm Nick, and it's wonderful to be here with you today. This journey through the Gospels takes us into familiar territory, the arrest of Jesus. Whenever we get to this point, I can't help but have this feeling of, no, I want more time with Jesus. We are in Mark chapter 14 today, so let's dive in. In only 2 days, the 8-day festival of Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread would begin. The high priests and religious scholars were looking for a way that they could seize Jesus by stealth and kill him. They agreed that it should not be done during the Passover week. "We don't want the crowds up in arms," they said. Jesus was at Bethany, a guest of Simon the leper. While he was eating dinner, a woman came up carrying a bottle of very expensive perfume. Opening the bottle, she poured it out on his head. Some of the guests became furious among themselves. "That's criminal, a sheer waste. This perfume could have been sold for well over a year's wages and handed out to the poor." They swelled up in anger, nearly bursting with indignation over her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why are you giving her a hard time? She has just done something wonderfully significant for me. You will have the poor with you every day for the rest of your lives. Whenever you feel like you can do something for them. Not so with me. She did what she could when she could. She pre-anointed my body for burial, and you can be sure that wherever in the whole world the message is preached, that what she just did is going to be talked about admiringly." Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the cabal of high priests determined to betray him. They couldn't believe their ears and promised to pay him well. He started looking for just the right moment to hand him over. On the first of the days of unleavened bread, the day they prepared the Passover sacrifice, his disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations so you can eat the Passover meal?" He directed two of his disciples, "Go into the city. A man carrying a water jug will meet you. Follow him. Ask the owner of whichever house he enters, 'The teacher wants to know, where is my guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples? He will show you a spacious second-story room, swept and ready. Prepare for us there.' The disciples left, came to the city, found everything just as he had told them, and prepared the Passover meal. After sunset, he came with the 12. As they were at the supper table eating, Jesus said, 'I have something hard but important to say to you. One of you is going to hand me over to the conspirators, one who at this very moment is eating with me.' Stunned, they started asking one another, 'It isn't me, is it?' He said, 'It's one of the 12, one who eats with me out of the same bowl. In one sense, it turns out that the Son of Man is entering into a way of treachery, well marked by the scriptures. No surprise here. In another sense, the man who turns him in turns traitor to the Son of Man. Better to have never been born than to do this.' In the course of their meal, having taken and blessed the bread, he broke it and gave it to them. Then he said, 'Take, this is my body.' Taking the chalice, he gave it to them, thanking God, and they all drank from it. He said, 'This is my blood, God's new covenant, poured out for many people. I'll not be drinking wine again until the new day when I drink it in the kingdom of God.' They sang a hymn, and they went directly to Mount Olives. Jesus told them, 'You're all going to feel that your world is falling apart, and that it's my fault. There's a scripture that says, I will strike the shepherd, the sheep will go helter-skelter. But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you, leading the way to Galilee.' Peter blurted out, 'Even if everyone else is ashamed of you when things fall to pieces, I won't be.' Jesus said, 'Don't be so sure. Today, this very night, in fact, before the rooster crows twice, you'll deny me 3 times. He blurted in protest, 'Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you.' All the others said the same thing. They came to an area called Gethsemane. Jesus told his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.' He took Peter, James, and John with him. He plunged into a sinkhole of dreadful agony. He told them, 'I feel bad enough right now to die. Stay here and keep vigil with me.' Going a little ahead, he fell to the ground and prayed for a way out. 'Papa, Father, you can, can't you? Get me out of this. Take this cup away from me, but please, not what I want. What do you want?' He came back and found them sound asleep. He said to Peter, 'Simon, you went to sleep on me. Can't you stick it out with me for a single hour? Stay alert, be in prayer so you don't enter the danger zone without even knowing it. Don't be naive. Part of you is eager, ready for anything in God, but another part of you is lazy as an old dog sleeping by the fire. Then he went back and prayed the same prayer. Returned again, he found them sound asleep. They simply couldn't keep their eyes open, and they didn't have a plausible excuse. He came back a third time and said, "Are you going to sleep all night?" "No, you've been sleeping long enough. Time's up. The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let's get going. My betrayer has arrived." No sooner were the words out of his mouth when Judas, the one out of the 12, showed up, and with him a gang of ruffians sent by the high priest, religion scholars, and leaders, brandishing swords and clubs. The betrayer had worked out a signal with them. "The one I kiss, that's the one. Seize him. Make sure that he doesn't get away." He went straight to Jesus and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. The others then grabbed him and roughed him up. One of the men standing there unsheathed the sword, swung, and came down on the chief priest's servant, lopping off the man's ear. Jesus said to them, "What is this? Coming after me with swords and clubs as if I were a dangerous criminal? Day after day I've been sitting in the temple teaching, and you never so much as lifted a hand against me. What you in fact have done is confirm the prophetic writings. All the disciples cut and ran." A young man was following along. All he had on was a bedsheet. Some of the men grabbed him and he got away, running off naked, leaving them holding the sheet. They led Jesus to the chief priest, where the high priests, religious leaders, and scholars had gathered together. Peter followed at a safe distance until they got to the chief priest's courtyard, where he mingled with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. The high priest, conspiring with the Jewish council, looked high and low for evidence against Jesus, by which they could sentence him to death. They found nothing. Plenty of people were willing to bring false charges, but nothing added up, and they ended up canceling each other out. Then a few of them stood up and lied. "We heard him say, 'I'm going to tear down this temple, built by hard labor, and in 3 days build another without lifting a hand.'" But even they couldn't agree exactly. In the middle of this, the chief priest stood up and asked Jesus, "What do you have to say to the accusation?" Jesus was silent. He said nothing. The chief priest tried again, this time asking, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed?" Jesus said, "Yes, I am, and you'll see it yourself. The Son of Man seated at the right hand of the Mighty One, arriving on the clouds of heaven." The chief priest lost his temper, ripping his clothes, and yelled, "Did you hear that? After that, do we need any witnesses? You heard the blasphemy. Are you going to stand for it?" They condemned him, one and all. The sentence, death. Some of them started spitting at him. They blindfolded his eyes, hit him, saying, "Who hit you? Prophesy." The guards, punching and slapping, took him away. While all this was going on, Peter was down in the courtyard. One of the chief priest's servant girls came in and, seeing Peter warming himself there, looked hard at him and said, "You were with the Nazarene Jesus." He denied it. "I don't know what you're talking about." He went out on the porch. A rooster crowed. The girl spotted him and began telling the people standing around, "He's one of them." He denied it again. After a while, the bystanders brought it up again. "You've got to be one of them. You've got Galilean written all over you." Now Peter really got nervous and swore, "I never laid eyes on this man you're talking about." Just then the rooster crowed a second time. Peter remembered how Jesus had said, "Before the rooster crows twice, you'll deny me three times." He collapsed in tears. I was struck by the depth of pain that Jesus was in while he was praying in the garden. Jesus really felt the weight of what was going to happen to him, from the betrayal, abandonment, rejection, beating, and ultimately crucifixion. He really wanted to skip all of this if he could, but in perfect obedience, he went through it. I'm glad that he went through all of this because we have a God who knows exactly what we feel and has been through it and worse, quite frankly. When I am tempted to tell God that he doesn't know what I'm going through, this is the gentle reminder that he does and that he cares for me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you for the path that you let Jesus go down for us. Father, we are so thankful for the new covenant that you made in his blood that sets us free from our sin and gives us your kingdom. Father, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for listening today. Share the podcast on social media. Check out our brand new YouTube channel. Support the podcast, and I'll see you back here tomorrow.